It's a pleasure to announce that Jerry Spain is filling in for Don Tucker tonight. He's got a message that sounds kind of like Verizon. Do you hear me now? Jerry and his wife are veteran missionaries. When Marie and I first went to Kenya in 76, Joy and Jerry were already there doing a work. He has taught at East African School of Theology, built churches, pastored, I'm sure, mentored so many of the young men over there. And he and Joy still have their fingers in that ministry, though he's retired in one sense, but they won't let him go. And it's a pleasure, Jerry, to have you minister tonight. God bless you.
Bless you, brother. Amen. Thank you, Obi. Don't you appreciate his leadership every Wednesday night that he did? Let's give him a hand tonight. Thank you. Thank you. Amen. And what a delight it is to be here with you again tonight. I don't deserve to be up here for sure. Don Tucker had a sudden trip, as you've heard, and he asked if I would be a substitute. I told somebody this is not the first time in my life I've been asked to be a substitute. And it's just such a delight to be a part of this assembly.
Yes.
And to sense the love and wonderful fellowship that we have in this sanctuary here, in this chapel tonight. Praise God.
Yes.
I thank God for Central Assembly. And my wife and I came home on our first furlough. This dates us, I know. Obia dates us way back there. We're old timers, but we came home in 1971, and I said to Jora, we had at that time three kids, and I said, I'd probably be doing the traveling and itinerating and raising funds, and I said, why don't we just join the church and put our roots down? And we joined Central Assembly in 1971, and we've been members of this church a long time now. And you know, I heard Randy Hearst, I quote him, he preached a tremendous message a week ago Sunday night on suffering. And in that message, he said something that was a sidebar that was extremely important. I took it down in my mind. He said this because he grew up in this church. He said, I don't want to do anything to hurt this church, and I want to do everything I can to help it. Amen. And I said, Randy, you're right on, right on. Right on. Praise God. Well, the title of my message is this. You stole it from Verizon. Do you hear me now?
Yeah.
Do you hear me now?
Yeah.
You know, it's amazing, this matter of communication, isn't it? Everything is so relative. I was reading a biography of David Livingston, and I read where it was before he had access even to the telegraph. And that he left his wife in England, and in order to communicate with his wife, he wrote her a letter and sent a messenger all the way to the coast of Tanganyika. And he knew that if he asked his wife a question, he wouldn't get the answer for 12 months. That it would take 6 months for her to get the letter. And if she answered it the very day that she received it, that he would get an answer 12 months later. Right now, my son, who is involved in IT, tells me that he is fascinated by some of the new inventions. He can go to Kinshasa, Africa, pull out his cell phone, and change the channel on his television so that his wife can't watch a program. That's the absolute truth. That's the absolute truth right now. That's called AT&T Universe. And I'm just learning about it. Just before service, I text Pastor. I don't know where he is. I don't keep an account. But I know one thing. He carries a cell phone with him. And so I asked him because I heard a quote. I heard a quote about Central Assembly. And I said, Pastor, I want the exact words that I heard about Central Assembly. And this is what he wrote me back. He said, it's an email that I received. Think of that. He was here in the office and somebody sent him an email. And said, Pastor, are you hearing now? And this is what he said. Since May the 3rd, 2012, 439 in-town visitors have visited Central Assembly. 439. 144 are now attending Central Assembly. 44 are still in the visitor follow-up process. 3 said they're not interested. 244 we don't know about yet, but we're still working on them. Many could be. Just haven't seen them connect to a group or give themselves to Central Assembly. We're very pleased that with the 144, we know they have certainly made Central Assembly their home. If you want a quote, that's it. It's on email. You know, the purpose of this church is that we would reach out to people in this community, right here in this area. And I heard that a doctor and his wife are driving for a full hour to get to a Central Assembly. Just new. Let's make them welcome. Amen. And if they drive a whole hour, let's make sure that this is a meaningful experience and that they hear from God. Yes. Praise God. Amen. Well, that ad from Verizon said, "Do you hear me now?" Do you know what I found out? I found out that there were a lot of dead spots. They said they covered the nation, but it was only an ad. And it reminded me that so many things are relative when it comes to communication. My wife and I have been missionaries for a long time, and we had kids in boarding school. And it is so vivid in my mind right now that on their birthday, we wanted to call them and say, "Happy birthday, Christy. Happy birthday, Carrie. Or happy birthday, Kirk." Boy, was it a process. We had to go through. We had to book the call. You had to book it and say, on a certain day, we're going to try to make that call. And then it would go through a relay system. It reminded me of my grandparents' farm, and it would be a relay. And you would finally get an operator in a little town in Kenya called Kijabi. And they would say, "Hello, hello, Kijabi, Kijabi." And we would say, "We want to talk to Kijabi 12Y1. My wife's got it memorized for sure. 12Y1 was the first call in a little town called Kijabi. And then after we somehow got the message that we wanted to talk to a student at Kijabi, they would have to go look for Carrie, or have to look for it. And then sure as the world, it would get cut off. It would get cut off, and we'd go through the whole process again until now I can go to bed at night hearing, "Kijabi 12Y1. In a sense, what I want to share with you tonight is more like a testimony. I said to the Lord, "Lord, I don't want to just go through a routine on a Wednesday night. I want to search my own soul. I want to testify as much as anything to say, I want to be able to communicate with a living God. I want to hear what He has to say. And I want to be true to the Scripture." So turn with me if you have your Bibles. And I'm going to do something tonight. Bob Braswell spoke the other Wednesday night, and he had a tremendous report on missions, but he referred to the message as being more like a commentary. And for Bible scholars, if you're here, I know that they refer to the message as being a paraphrase or a commentary, but it puts it in good words for us to understand today. And so I'm reading Matthew chapter 11, and they don't give verses in the message, but I think this is about verse number 13 or something there along. They don't give the verses here, but this is what it says. Are you listening to me? Really listening? Now turn over with me. That was in the 11th chapter. Turn with me to the 13th chapter if you just want to listen from the message. It says the same words. Are you listening to this? Are you really listening? So you see, in a sense, for the sake of this message, I could insert those words where the Lord is asking a simpler, something similar to Verizon. Do you hear? Only He probably would put it in King James English, wouldn't He? Wouldn't the Lord put it in? I mean, there are those today that believe that if it's not in King James, then it's not the Word. And it would probably say something like this: "Verily, verily, do you really hear me now.
In the same words, the disciples, according to the 13th chapter of the book of Matthew, it says, the disciples came and asked, "Why do you tell stories?" He replied, "You've been given insight into God's kingdom. You know how it works. Not everyone has this gift, this insight. It hasn't been given to them. Whenever someone has a ready heart for this, the insights and understandings flow freely. But if there's no readiness, any trace of receptivity soon disappears. That's why I tell stories. To create readiness, to nudge the people towards receptive insight. In their present state, they can't stare till doomsday and not see it. Listen. Or they would listen till they're blue in the face and not get it. I don't want Isaiah's forecast to be repeated all over again. It's this. Your ears are open, but you don't hear a thing. Your eyes are awake, but you don't see a thing. And the people, now this is the message, not me. The people are blockheads. That's what it says. They stick their fingers in their ears so they won't have to listen. They screw up their eyes so they won't have to look. So they won't have to deal with me face to face and let me heal them. But listen to this as it's been given to us in the message. But you have God-blessed eyes. You have God-blessed ears. And a lot of people, prophets and humble believers among them would have given anything to see what you are seeing, to hear what you are hearing, and have never had a chance. Father, I pray that you will take the word tonight. And above all else, Lord, in a simple message of a word that comes from you and your word. Lord, give us, I pray, eyes to see and ears to hear. And Lord, I would ask that you would do that in my heart and let me be living in a day when I can say I hear God's voice and I want to be obedient. In the name of the Lord, we pray. Amen. Jesus told stories. I'd like to tell you one tonight. This is an African fable. It's a story. Once upon a time, there was an old lion who decided he wasn't strong enough to catch animals, and so he noticed something. He noticed that people, when they got older, got large bodies, and they ran slowly. Now, that's a sidebar. I'm not trying to get a secondary message in any kind. You see, lions are very clever. If you've ever read, there's a book that became popular, really, called The Man-Eaters of Tsavo. They made a Hollywood movie out of it, The Ghosts in the Darkness. And if you saw it, it's true. It was a true story about a lion that would jump right into a train and steal people and kill people. There's still a spot in Kenya that is called the place of the Tsavo man-eater. And the story is told in Africa that people living in a certain village heard that a man-eater was in their area. And sure enough, the lion killed someone in a nearby village. And the chief of the local village got up on top of his hut and he began to make an announcement, and he said, "I've got a word for everyone. I want you to hear me. Listen to me. There's a man-eater lion in our area, and therefore I make a decree. No one is to leave this village. You are not to go to the river. You are not to go to the forest. You are not to go to the field. Do you hear me now?" But there was one lady in the village who looked around in her home and discovered that She was out of water. Her gourds were empty, and she didn't know what she was going to do. She didn't know how she was going to give enough water and food for her family. So she said, well, I'm sure that I'm swift enough. I can do it. I can make it to the river and back. And sure enough, she went with her gourds, put them on her head like they so beautifully do in Africa, and walked down to the river, filled up her gourd, and you're probably ahead of me. Swish! All of a sudden, the man-eater jumped out of the trees and ran towards her and killed her. The lion was carrying the body back towards his den when a leopard came by, and the leopard said, where are you going with all of that good meat? The lion said, I'm going to my den. The leopard said, oh, you can't do that. It's too much of a heavy load for you. I'll help you. And the lion said, I need no help. I don't want your help. No, thank you. Well, then, wait a minute. I've worked hard. I'm tired. Would you, Mr. Leopard, would you take care of the body for a while I go rest for a while under the tree? You promised me you won't eat it, will you? You promised me you won't eat it. And the leopard said, would a child steal from a grandfather? I'll just guard it for you. So off went the lion while the leopard was guarding the meat. The leopard waited a long time. The sun climbed higher and higher. Midday came. It got hotter and hotter. Meanwhile, the leopard got hungrier and hungrier. And finally, he looked and he said, you know what? I think I could get by with this if I would just eat an ear. So he ate one ear off of the lady. That tasted so good. He said, you know what? I think I could get by with the second one. So he ate the second ear. About that time, the lion came back and said to the leopard, I thought I told you to take care of this, and you have taken this lady's ears. And the leopard said, no, 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 she didn't have any ears. And the lion said, oh, yes, she did. When I left this lady, she had two sets. The leopard said, I'll prove it to you. I'll prove it to you. She didn't have any ears. People don't have ears. And the lion said, oh, I'm sure that. He said, wait a minute. If you'll go with me tonight, we'll sneak up to the edge of that village. And you listen. And so they did. Sure enough, they got up close to where the village was. And by that time, everyone had looked around and they had missed Meta. She was gone. They were scurrying everywhere looking for this lady and couldn't find her. And finally, they discovered that she had left in disobedience and gone to the river and probably had been confronted by the lion. And so the chief got up on top of the of his hut and began to say, I thought I told you people not to leave the village. Meta left, and now she has been destroyed. See, I told you, you don't have ears. Whereupon the leopard turned to the lion and said, see, I'll prove it to you. People don't have ears. Now, that's a simple story, but it's got a lot of truth to it. I told this in family devotions a few weeks ago, and I said to my grandsons, I said, now what does that story say to you? And my 9-year-old said, well, it says to me that I know the difference. I know that that's really not true because leopards don't talk. So it depends what you get out of it, see? What's your communication and what you get out of it? I told you I was going to talk from my heart. This message, I've never preached it. I've shared this fable. But this message came to me the other day. I had no idea that Don Tucker would be asking me to minister. So I asked the Lord if I could share this. I was sitting, actually, in an office. Well, I was inside in a clinic. Because I've got a problem. I've got a major problem. I don't mind showing you what my problem is. Right there. Now, I can't hear you very well right now. I've got some pretty serious hearing loss. And so I was in an office where I had to get some hearing aids. And the lady was an audiologist, and she said something to me that gave me the seed thoughts for a message. That lady said, I'm going to test your ears. She said, but I'm pretty sure you've got serious hearing loss. And she did. Told me that I even had to adjust them louder because I'm not hearing a lot of things that are being said, if there's background noise especially. And then she told me something. She said, you know, hearing is not only individual, it's collective. And I thought, wow, that's a sermon in itself. Hearing is not only individualistic, it's pluralistic. And that is, he said, you have got to persuade your wife to look right at you when she talks. Now, I've tried that for a long time and it hasn't worked. And if she, that's okay, I can give her equal time tonight if she wants it, you see. But the problem is that my wife and my family have said, well, your problem is selective hearing. It's not the fact that you can't hear, it's that you've got selective hearing. They know that because for many years I could sit and read the sports page and not hear another thing that was going on, you see. That's the absolute truth. I know that. And so it's like I've cried, whoop, whoop. And here this audiologist was saying to me, it's a collective thing. Your family have got to be able to talk to you plainly. They have got to be able to say, people have got to know that you have a hearing loss. And I said, well, then in this sense, why do we hide this thing? I mean, why do we hide it? Why are we hiding these hearing aids if it's a collective thing? It's a cultural thing. I walked out of that office that day saying, Lord, I want to overcome the physical difficulties of hearing. I don't want to miss anything. I say this respectfully, and if you can't afford hearing aids and you've had hearing loss, I pray for you. I know that I've watched older people. I try to be, my wife tells me sometimes I'm a people observer. And I've seen people older, especially, that have been in a group out of this world. They're not a part of it because of hearing loss. And that can happen physically. My wife's dear father lived to be 98 years old, and for some reason or other, even though he could afford it, he said, I'm not getting one of those things. I don't want a hearing aid. I don't want it. And so he could sit with us, and a whole conversation would take place around a table, and he was not there. He was only there physically. And I've said, Lord, I don't want to live in denial physically. You know where I'm going. Because I walked out of that audiologist's office and said, Lord, it's one thing to have a hearing deficiency physically. It's another thing to have it spiritually. Yes. And Lord, I pray that somehow we'll not allow the leopard or the lion or anyone else or any circumstance to take our ears, spiritual ears. Yes. And that somehow we could pray, God, help me to see that there is a clear division, even in the Scripture. While we've been challenged to read through the Bible right now, I have found out, really, you can boil it down to two different categories. Those who hear and those who don't. Now look at it. I mean, the prophets, the Old Testament is full of God's revelation. Who heard it? And if they heard it, did they have ears that led them to obedience? Of course, then we know the challenge of the third category, and that is for those who have never heard. And so we even have slogans now that says that they all may hear. I find that this is a main theme for our Lord in Revelation chapter 2 and 3. Seven different times Jesus says, He, you help me now. He that hath a what? Ear. Let him. Let her. What the Spirit says to the church. To a church that's almost 100 years old. Now, I'm not going to go into a long history lesson, except to tell you I did something today that nearly drove me to my knees. I was studying
But I took those seven messages in the book of Revelation and read through, underlined those repetitious phrases. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the church, the Lord of the church. And then I did something that I've never done in my life before this afternoon. I went to a map, and I looked up the map of the old ancient Asia Minor, and I could see where these seven churches were located. And then I put a grid over them. I put today's map over them. I don't mind. I like interaction. If you put a grid over the seven churches of the book of Revelation, what country did you find? Turkey. Give me my hand today. Turkey. Let me show you what I found today about Turkey. I looked it up in Operation World. Turkey. Right now, it's made up of 96.64 Muslims. And then another 3.1 non-religious group. Christianity is represented in all different denominations or tags in 0.21. Now I want to pause for a moment for emphasis now. Did you hear me?
Yes.
Did you hear me? Yes. What's happened then since the first century until now? What's happened? And if you're not even a casual reader of history, you can answer that question. You know that the candles of the book of Revelation referred to in very clear language have been snuffed out. And instead of there being a triumphant church, the church is lost. Now, I know that it didn't happen overnight. History takes place 1 minute after 1 minute, after 1 day, after 1 day, methodically, over years. In fact, I have a book in my library right now written by Professor Philip Jenkins that says there was 1,000 years of lost history in Asia Minor, and the church spread, and there was that Silk Road that went all the way from the Asia Minor clear over to China, and there were believers, and thank God there were. But he concludes by saying that by the year 1500, they didn't exist. What happened to them? Well, I'll dare to offer a few suggestions to you. They lost their hearing. They had hearing deficiencies. More than just a mental expression of saying that something happened about their physical ear. They lost their personal, vital, spiritual ear to hear what God was saying to them. Now, I know that I happen to like history, and so I've read what happened even as early as the second century, when in many places the church was being persecuted. Still, by that time, there was a man in that very area of Pergia by the name of Montanus, and he advocated that people could be filled with the Holy Spirit with supernatural evidence of speaking in other tongues, and that there could be the supernatural. And by that time, a horrible hierarchy of the church said, "You're wrong. It's only the bishops that qualify to be baptized in the Holy Spirit." That's true. This is history. And yet, a man as brilliant as Tertullian in North Africa left his theological work to join with the Montanists because he said that's the manifestation from the Word of God. And yet, over a period of time, it was snuffed out. And one historian has said, when they persecuted the heresy, quote and unquote, because I've read where maybe it was a false accusation of the Montanists, and a man as great, no less than John Wesley, said that from his study that he believed that they were truly followers of the Lord Jesus Christ. So it depends upon from which source you read. But here is the point. When the church became a hierarchy instead of servants to one another, they soon begin to lose their hearing. And I say to you tonight and from my heart, God, help us in this present day to know that it's not a matter of accumulating statistics, and yet we're grateful for everything that God does in the broad perspective, and yet the important thing is this, that we have hearing aids and that we understand what God is saying to us right now, today, and that we say, Lord, I want this to be a vital personal relationship with you. And that means that I study your word and that I can listen from you and directly understand that your word can be applied to my life today. So, what do we learn from this passage of Scripture? Jesus said, blessed are those who hear. And not only hear, but to obey. I want to share with you tonight that I have been saying, Lord, help me at my age right now to be exactly what you want me to be in the kingdom. I want to be a vital part of this church. You're right. I want to say I'm available. I've shared from this pulpit that I've adopted a slogan. I found the slogan on a taxi in Kenya. It said in an old, dilapidated old taxi, it had written on it, I may be ugly, but I'm available. And that's been my prayer. I was reminded of it. I thought I was back in Africa a week ago Sunday. Truly happened, and I don't mind it. Truly happened, Central Assembly. I don't know. I looked around. I don't think if I'll look down, because a lady walked up to me and said to me, I don't know your name, but I know you by your nose. I thought I was back in Africa again, because you see, in Africa, the physical distinctives don't make any difference. It doesn't make a bit of difference. I had them testify one time. I heard a man in among the Maasai stand up and say, he said, Yule mzungu mbayamekuna pua kubusatarudi apakubidilini. He was saying, that man with the big nose, when is he gonna come back here and preach again sometime? Or I've had a you see, culture is different. It's different. You learn culture. I heard this actually. In a service in Arusha, Tanzania, the pastor stood up, and in the Swahili language, I heard what he said. He said, Sasa, nitamkaribisha huyu mama mnene, kusimama na kutoa shuhuda. My wife is laughing because what he said was, I'm going to ask this fat lady to stand up and testify now. And I thought, wow, he'd get shot in our culture. That pastor would get thrown out in our culture, you see. Physical distinctives are secondary. And I had a Maasai lady come to me one time, get her out up close to my face. And she said to me, Naona dhahabu hapa. She says, I see something in there. She said, I look in it. She had never in her lifetime ever seen. Now, I can't tell you why. I came from a poor family, but I fell in the gymnasium one day and had a bad accident when I was playing basketball and broke my two front teeth. And why the local dentist in Valentine, Nebraska put a little bit of gold there, I don't know. But he put a little gold there, and this lady had never seen gold in the teeth. And so she said to me, when you die, I'm going to get that gold. When you die, I want to get that gold. That's what she wanted.
When you die,
yeah. Well, you want to know why? I can tell you why. The Maasai don't bury their dead. You see, culture is a fascinating thing. They just take the dead and lay them in a ceremony underneath a thorn tree. And they allow the hyenas and the other vultures and so on take care of the dead body, because to them it's the spirit takes place.
And what am I saying in all of this tonight? The God who is one and has revealed himself in three can be revealed in every single culture.
Hallelujah.
And in every tongue and in every language. You see, he wants to speak. And so that's why we have what we call the Word. And we can be in the place every day to share with one another. I look over here and I'm always so grateful to my mentor. You know, this man used to give me a chance to teach in his classes once in a while out at Central Bible College. He gave me that honor. What an honor. And yet he comes to Wednesday night services to listen to somebody like me ramble for a while. And we're here together to say we'll encourage, because that lady in the office the other day was absolutely right. And that is, hearing is a collective thing. We need to encourage one another. We need to talk straight at each other and to say, we're not going to do anything that will harm this church. We're going to build it up. And we're going to believe that if they had 400 visitors, that they'll have 800 visitors. We're going to pray that we'll be a witness in our community. We're going to pray that somehow our pastors and the associate pastors will be anointed of the Holy Spirit. We're going to pray that God will give a revival to Central Assembly just like he did long ago, only in today's culture. Praise God. And that whatever it is that we need to embrace, if it's change, whether it's through a cell phone or whatever it is, if we need hearing aids so that we can hear the next generation, that we're not going to put them down. Well, I have a granddaughter. I don't even understand her language sometimes right now. She's 20 years old, but she understands everything about IT. But I want to know this, that as an influence, I'll be able to be an influence to a granddaughter and to a grandson and to a family, and to pray that God's reality will be heard and that there will be obedience in the name of the Holy Spirit. Father, just take, I pray, a few words tonight. From our hearts, oh God, we pray, help us to be what you want us to be right now. Lord, don't let this church miss the target of being a part of the last day outpouring of the Holy Spirit for a divine purpose. And Lord, hear us. We want to hear your word. And just like you spoke to our elders about being involved in the greatest evangelism that this world has ever known, I pray, oh God, that you'll help us to evangelize Commercial Street as we prayed for Victory Assembly tonight. Lord, that you'll help us to evangelize the streets around Grant Beach. That you'll help us, Lord, right where we live. Save Protestants that are nominal. And Lord, I would dare to believe you tonight with my brothers and sisters that I love so much here tonight, Lord, that we would together make a covenant to say Central Assembly will be everything that God wants it to be. I pray this in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen and amen. Praise God. God bless you.